Wonderful. Glad that you choose to be here with us this afternoon. We have a few things we want to talk about this afternoon. So I want us to go ahead. We're going to have prayer and we're going to get started and get right into it this afternoon. So, you know, if you want to come closer, then come closer so you don't miss anything. All right? Because I may have some things I'm showing here that you may want to see. So if you're closer, it will be better. Because not everything will be on the screen. Bring a fan closer if you need to get a fan or something like that. But you can do that as you go along. In the meantime, let's bow our heads as we have a word of prayer at this time. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the opportunity we have to talk about things related to health, healing, and restoration one more time. I pray, oh God, that you'll be with us as we discuss these things, and I pray that for those who are listening, whether they're in this auditorium or they are in their cabin, wherever they are, or even listening later, I pray that this will be of help, benefit, and blessing to those who will hear. And I ask, dear Father, that we will see hope in all of what we're talking about and see how we can make necessary changes to improve our health. So bless us as we continue now in Jesus' name. Let everybody say, Amen. All right, so this afternoon I want to talk on about a topic, but before I even get into the topic, I just want to set a little foundation. I'm going to see if I can do it in shorter time than I will normally do, because there are just some fundamental things that it is important for us to understand as we're talking about health. And many times people are thinking about improving their health, and we just want to make sure that we get the big picture. So I'm going to share something with you, a concept that if you catch it, it could do a world of good for you. So here we go now. Here it is. Here's what Ministry of Healing says when it comes to sickness and disease. It says, first of all, that disease never comes without a what? Cause. So follow me now. If this says disease never comes without a cause, it simply means that whenever there is a disease, whenever there is a sickness, the first thing we need to do is to find out what is the cause. Are you following me so far? But notice what it says there. It says that the way is prepared and disease invited by what? Disregard of the what? Laws of health. So in other words, what this quote is saying is that we prepare the way for disease when we do what? Disregard the laws of health. It's as simple as that. It's clear. Okay? So we've prepared the way for disease when we do that. So the key point I want you to keep in mind this afternoon is that disease never comes without a what, everybody? Cause. All right. Perfect. Watch this now. What then is a disease? Does anybody know? What is a disease? Okay? What's a disease? Real quick. Yes. Okay, that's a common answer. Disease is dis-ease. Is that true, everybody? Yes, because something is not easy in the body, not going at ease. You were saying the same thing? Some malfunctioning in the body. That's correct. But I want to share with you what I believe is one of the best definition of what I have seen a disease is. And here it is. The best definition I've seen for what a disease is. Here we go. Disease is an what? Effort of nature to free the system from conditions that result from a violation of the what? The laws of health. So in other words, this says disease comes again when there is a what? Violation of the laws of health. So here is something for you, and I want to see those who agree with me by the show of your right hand. I want to submit to you that disease is actually a blessing. Show hands those who agree with me. Disease is a blessing. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. 5 people out of the group here agree with me that disease is a blessing. All right. Those who say disease is not a blessing, raise your hand then. All right. Good, good. So tell me, did you put your hand up again? Oh, okay. Okay, so those who say disease is not a blessing, I just want to hear what is your reason? Why do you say disease is not a blessing? Yes. When you have a disease, you suffer. Can you imagine that? Suffering you're looking at. Yes, go ahead. Okay, so God wants us to be healthy. So if we're diseased, then it's not a blessing. Okay? All right, you had the other alternate answer. So go ahead. All right, so if you didn't take note that there is something going wrong as a warning sign, then you wouldn't do anything about it. Correct. I'm with you. So here's what happened. The reason we say disease is a blessing is simply because disease lets you know that something is wrong and you need to what? Fix it. Am I making sense so far? So that's how disease, in my mind, is a blessing. Imagine disease like this. There's your house is on fire. You're fast asleep in the middle of the night. Your house is on fire, and your neighbor comes and bang on your door and say, your house is on fire, get out of it. Now listen, if you stay in the house and you don't get that call and you're a dead sleeper, what's going to happen? You die. So to me, disease is like the man knocking at the door to alert you that something is going on. And if you make adjustment, then the body, listen real good, the body has the ability to what? Heal itself. It's amazing how God made our body with the ability to heal itself. But it needs the right thing. So again, disease is a blessing because it lets you know that something is wrong and we can fix it. Here it is. Yes. Yes. Liver disease. Uh-huh. Well, let me put it to you this way. I've worked with people that doctors gave 2 weeks to live, 2 months to live, and they're living years now. So it, you know what I mean? They may see certain things and they may have a good guess as to what may happen in terms of the progression of the person's health, but God has the final say. And when we make lifestyle adjustments, let me tell you, amazing things can happen. All right? But in any way you take it, it's still a blessing. Any way you take it, all right? Because sometimes it causes some people to seek God, and that's a blessing too. All right, so what do we do when there is sickness? I want to give you a formula, and let me tell you, if you plug this formula into any disease, you will see the big results it can happen if you follow it in the correct order. So what to do when there is a disease? The first thing to do when there is sickness is to what? Ascertain the cause. In other words, find out what is the cause of the issue. Now let me ask you a question. Be honest with me now. If you don't know what is causing the problem, can you really help the problem or fix the problem? No, you can't. So the thing is, if I try to give you something to fix a problem and we haven't dealt with the root cause of the problem, what's going to happen is that we're just masking things and we're not getting what? Healing itself. Yes, go ahead. Okay. All right. Let me give you the definition again. Let's back this up. It says disease. What is a disease? It's an effort of nature to free the system from conditions that result from a what? Violation of the laws of health. What are the laws of health? The laws of health, how many are there? There are how many laws of health? Eight. That's a traditional answer. There are actually 10 laws of health. But let's work with eight for now, okay? With that you know. Okay? There's nutrition, there's exercise, there's water, there's sunlight, the temperance, air, rest, trust in divine power. Any one of these laws of health violated can bring forth sickness or disease. So what I would suggest is going back there, but I do understand what you're saying, that sometimes the cause is not really known. But what I'm here to help you to understand is that if nature is disturbed in any way, it will bring about issues in the body, in life as well. Okay? Anyway, let me carry on here. So the first thing to do when there is sickness is to ascertain the cause. Find out what is causing it. Now, if you know what's causing the problem, the next logical thing to do is what? Make changes, correct? Does that make sense, everybody? You make changes. And then the third thing is to what? Correct wrong habits. And then finally, It says to assist nature in establishing right conditions in the system. This is the logical order in which to approach a disease. Because if I go to the last point, number four, if I go there first, what do you think is going to happen? If I say I'm just going to assist nature without removing the causing factor, do you think I'm going to get anywhere fast? Not at all. Now let me put it to you in another scenario. Here it is. Here is a scenario. Let's say you came home one day, and follow me now. You came home one day, the faucet is turned on, right? The sink is plugged, water is coming out the faucet. You came to the entrance of your door, and the faucet is running, the water greets you, and right before the entrance of the door is a mop. What would you do in its rightful order? Would you take the mop and start mopping up, or what would you do? You would do what? Turn off the water first. Why would you want to turn off the water first? Let me go again. The faucet is turned on, the sink is plugged, water is coming out the faucet. There is a mop right at the entrance of your door right there, greeting you, a big, huge mop. What would you do in its right order? Why would you go inside to turn off the faucet? Why not just stay at the door and mop up the thing? It's gonna what? Okay, all right. Let me say this. Now, remember, for those of you who were here earlier on, I shared with you that a lady I worked with had hypertension. Who remember how long? 25 years. Remember I shared that with you? I'm going to share it again. This lady I worked with had hypertension for 25 years. And 10 years to the time I sat with this lady and I put her on the plan. I put her on the what? Plan. Here's what happened. 10 years to the time the lady took salt out of her diet, yet still her blood pressure kept rising. Now here's what happened. When we put this lady on the program, we reintroduced salt in the lady's diet. And we explained to her some of the causing factors of hypertension. Because if salt was the issue with her blood pressure, taking salt out the diet would simply mean that her blood pressure should have been what? Normalized, based on how they present this to us. Now here's what happened. While she was there, between these 25 years, they had to increase the medication. So now, I'm going back to my scenario to make a point from that. So, if I choose not to listen to my sister over there who is telling me I need to go inside and turn off the faucet, what if I choose to do it my way by staying here at the door and mop till I get to the sink? What would happen? I'll never get there. Huh? What would happen? I will wear the mop out, right? And maybe I have to go to the store and get more mops. Are you following what I'm saying? No. I'm saying I'm not following what you're saying and you're still sending me there. So I'm at the door, the water is here, and I'm mopping and I'm singing a nice gospel song as I'm mopping, and the water keep coming, right? And so this mop get worn out, so I go to the store, I buy more mops, and I get big mops, and I start to mop again. Now let me ask you a question. What can we equate the mop to in the scenario I gave you about the lady with hypertension? What would that be? Huh? Yeah, if you don't do that. Yeah, what would the mops be? The what? Salt. No. Follow me now. Remember, I'm trying to help you to understand this concept. I turned my thing. Yes, go ahead. The source, the cause. All right, so let me work with you where as you're giving me the information. So the right thing to do is to stop the what? The cause, all right? We have to turn off the faucet, because if we don't turn off the faucet, we're going to be mopping for how long? 25 years. Are you following what I'm saying now? For 25 years, I'll be right there at the door mopping and hoping that I'll get to the sink, but I won't get there. Are you following what I'm saying? Because the water just keeps coming. And then what's the mop? The mop is the stuff that they give you to help to clean up, to help you with the situation. But you keep wearing a mop out, and then the doctor say, I got to give you more mops. Are you following what I'm saying here? Are you getting it? Yeah. So the point is, as we just described, the best thing to do when it comes to disease is to what? Find out the what? The cause first. And you turn off the faucet. Does that make sense, everybody? Okay, very good. Now let's apply this in a scenario by talking about a disease, just to help you to see how this works out. I want to talk to you on this topic because I asked yesterday what topic you would like me to discuss, and this was presented to me. So I'm just sharing from this perspective. However, I will be talking about other things while we're talking about this disease. Cholesterol, hero or villain? Is cholesterol a good thing or a bad thing? Is it a good guy or a bad guy? Those who say cholesterol is a bad guy, raise your hands. Bad guy. Few people. Those who say it's a good thing, raise your hands. It's a hero. All right. It's what? It's both? It can't be both. It's either good or bad. Oh, blessings. All right. So now we have divided answers here. So let's go on a journey. And then you will tell me whether or not cholesterol is a good thing or it's a bad thing. It can't be two. Okay? So follow me. You have to stick with me to understand what I'm saying so you don't leave here with misunderstanding. So follow me now. Let's go. Cholesterol, hero or villain? Listen to what this quote says. It says, too little attention is generally given to the what? Preservation of health. Is that true? Yes. Many times people don't think about their health and their well-being until they begin to lose it. Until the doctor say, you have cancer. Then we shock. We panic. We say, can I do this? Where do I go? How do I go about this? But if we look at our body as a way, or our health as, you know what? I need to try to prevent. Can we prevent prevent that no disease will come upon us? Can we fully do that? No. Why? We live in a sinful world. Are you following what I'm saying here? But should we make an attempt to prevent as much as we can? Can we do that? Yes, we can. So that's from the perspective we're talking about. It is far better to what? Prevent disease than to know how to what? To treat it. The old saying goes like this. Prevention is better than cure. Is that true today in the 21st century? Yes, it is. Prevention, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. Now, I want to talk to you about one of the medication that this is one of the leading medications in North America, by the way, and it is the number one recommended medication for cholesterol. Who knows what it is? What is it? No? Yes. No. I'm not talking natural stuff. I'm talking medication. What is it? Lipitor. That's correct. It's Lipitor. Now, I'm going to share with you some possible side effects of Lipitor, and I'm going to this website called WebMD. WebMD. Here is what it says. Possible side effects of Lipitor. It might be too small for some of you to see it there, but I'll tell you a few. Here it is. Indigestion, incomplete or infrequent bowel movement, gas, stomach cramp, joint pains, reaction due to allergy, throat irritation, sinus irritation and congestion, dizziness, watch this now, flu-like symptoms, pain, rash, head pain, feel like throwing up, diarrhea, numbness, tingling or pain in the hands or the feet, muscle problems, increased eye pressure. Now, does anybody know what increased eye pressure, what disease can that cause? Glaucoma, that's correct. So imagine you're using this to help to keep your cholesterol in check, but at the same time, the possibility lies that you could have what? Glaucoma. Think about it. Watch this now. Pancreatitis, eye hemorrhaging. What is eye hemorrhage? In other words, eye hemorrhage. Bleeding in the eyes, that's correct. It's as simple as that. Angina, abnormal heart rhythm, blood pressure drop upon standing, hemorrhage of blood under the skin. Hemorrhage from the gums, inflammation of the esophagus, stomach or intestinal cancer, inflammation of the large intestine, blood coming from the anus, liver failure, hepatitis, kidney stone, urinary tract infection, bloody urine, enlarged breast, and the list goes on. Are those a lot of possible side effects from one medication? All right, the list continues. Stephen Johnson syndrome, stiff neck, ruptured tendons, I'm skipping some, abnormal increase in muscle tone, muscle pain, leg cramps, chest pain, trouble breathing, low blood sugar, gout, anemia, and decreased blood platelets. One medication. Let's continue. Dry eye, lazy eye, ringing in the ears, inflammation of the nose, bronchitis, dry mouth, itching, sun-sensitive skin, hear loss, arthritis. Now think about that. Arthritis. Right? From that one medication. And watch this now. The list doesn't end there. Look at this one. Loss of memory. And I've seen where people have experienced this from taking statin-type drug, which Lipitor is as well. And even from Lipitor as well. But let me continue the list here. There you go. Feel like fainting. Chronic trouble sleeping, fever, excessive sweat, taste problems, swollen lymph node, high blood sugar. Who knows what high blood sugar is? Diabetes! Did you know that there is actually a lawsuit against the maker of Lipitor? Why? Because people who have taken Lipitor, quite a number of them, have come down with type 2 diabetes. So there is a lawsuit against them because for people who have type 2 diabetes who started taking Lipitor in the past. So watch this now. There are three diseases. How many diseases? Three diseases that are like the three musketeers. Do you know the motto of the three musketeers? The motto is simply this. One for all and all for one. There are three diseases that are just the same way. That's their motto. Who can tell me what these three diseases are? Come on. Anybody can guess? I'll tell you. One, diabetes. Two, cholesterol. Three, hypertension. Having any one of these diseases, you and I have to be careful because the others may not be very far. And what you will know if you go ahead and do the research yourself is that sometimes the medications that's used to treat one could possibly cause the other two. And I've seen that a few times. For case in point, there was this lady I worked with, and she had an excessively high triglyceride. Your triglyceride also affect your cholesterol. And here's what happened, Pastor. When I sat with this lady, the lady told me that when she went to the doctor, her triglyceride, in America, your triglyceride should be 150 or below. Her triglyceride, when she went to the doctor, was almost 1,000. And that's the reaction she said the doctor had, just as how you heard Pastor said it there. And here's what happened. We sat with the lady down and we put her on the plan. We put her on a plan. And let me tell you what happened. In about a month's time, her triglyceride dropped to 500. And as we continue working with her and as she continued on the program, it just kept going down and down and down. Now, what I'm getting at by sharing that with you is this. What I saw when I was going through her session, what really helped to trigger that high triglyceride was one of the medications she was taking to help her high blood pressure. When I looked up the side effects, the possible side effects on my computer, I showed it to her. I said, there it is. And the level was at severe. So the point I'm making is that some of these diseases, like the three I just mentioned, having one can oftentimes trigger the other. All right? Let's carry on now. So what exactly is cholesterol? All right? That's what we're trying to discover here this afternoon. Real quick, for time's sake, cholesterol is basically a fat-like, wax-like substance that is found where? In the blood. That's basically what cholesterol is. Now, here are some examples of what a normal artery should look like in the first place. You will notice here, if you look on this screen over here, that this is the area where the blood should flow through. That's how your artery should look. Nice and clean. Now, over here, you will notice that there is a fatty streak build up when a person is on the sad diet. Do you know the diet that makes you sad? You don't know that one? The standard American diet. You never heard about that before? Yeah, that's the sad diet. That's what they call it. It's not me making it up. All right, the standard American diet, you get a fatty streak build up. As you continue, you get what here? Cholesterol plaque build up. Notice that the artery, the area where the blood is supposed to flow, it's getting even more narrow. And continuing on that, notice here that it's only in this little section that the blood is there to flow. Now let me ask you a question. From this one or this one, which is easier for the blood to flow? The top one, right? So my question to you is, let's say this is my artery. What is going to happen to me? What are some of the things that could happen to me? You could get a heart attack. That's right. You could get a stroke. What else could happen? Huh? Angina? What do you think is going to happen to my heart? Huh? Definitely could get enlarged. But what else could happen? Pumps faster. It has to what? Work harder. Because this is more narrow area to get the what? The blood go through it. So here's what happened. I'm going to share something that's absolutely amazing with you. You ready for it? Auntie, only your head I hear. I see moving. So I'll tell you alone. I'm going to turn off the mic and tell you alone. If they want to hear, they will make some noise. So I Oh, you all want to hear now? Okay, a gentleman at the back say he wants to hear, and I can't shout down there. All right, did you know that your artery, if it is blocked like this, can actually get back to this like that of a baby? Did you know that? Absolutely amazing. If you want to know more, I could show you some more. I have a book over there in the cafeteria. You can come and see me a little bit later, where I can give you the formula that you can use to do that. Let me tell you about this thing. Pastor, we had a lady that was introduced to me, and I have her, I forget what you call that result, but she did an angiogram or something like that, where they showed how her arteries were blocked, okay? One of her arteries was 95% blocked. Listen real good. One of her arteries was 95% blocked. There was another one that was 85% blocked. This thing that I'm telling you about, we had this lady, she started to doing it, and she had 3 days before her surgery. And what happened is this, 3 or 4 days. What happened is this, she went on this thing, and when she went for them to put the stents in, because it was so, and others, there were more occlusion in the arterial area there. And what happened is this, Pastor, when she went, the artery that was 95% blocked was now 85% blocked, and the one that was 85% blocked was now 75% blocked. Are you following what I'm saying? In 3 days, that's absolutely amazing. Now, I don't take it lightly that God did something through that so that persons can understand that God heals. I don't take that lightly. But I can tell you that we've recommended this for several individuals, and it has made a tremendous impact. I remember I was in Ottawa, and a gentleman came to me and he said, I've been having severe chest pain, crushing pain, and it's going to take a while for me to get to the doctor. And they are thinking, this is what he was saying, that there might be some blockage in his arteries. We had the gentleman start using the same thing, and let me tell you, he started to feel ease from that chest pain that he was having. So what I'm sharing with you is that the point is, your artery could be as blocked as this, but there are ways to get that occlusion or get that artery cleaned out. Are we making sense there, saints? All right, good. Let's carry on. So what are the two main carriers of cholesterol? The two main carriers of cholesterol are these. Number one is what's called the what? The HDL, or the high density lipoprotein. You may know it as the what? Know it as a what? The good cholesterol. That's what you often call it. Am I telling the truth? Right. That's what it's normally called. The good cholesterol. The second one is this. The LDL. Okay? Low density lipoprotein. This one is the so-called what? Bad cholesterol. Remember, we have a little thing that we're working out here. Because I'm sharing with you that cholesterol is a good thing. But some of you tell me it's a good and a bad thing. Okay? So this is what you call a good cholesterol, this is what you call a bad cholesterol, but I still hold that overall cholesterol is a what? Good thing. Are you with me? All right. If you're not with me now, you'll be with me soon. All right, and then you have the triglycerides. Now, here is what normal cholesterol level should look like. Here is for Canada. It should be, total cholesterol should be 5.2 millimoles per liter or below. 5.24 milliliters or below for optimal health. All right, keep that in mind. So I'm not going to dwell on the other parts there. What should your HDL look like for optimal health for men? Your HDL should look like 1.81 millimoles per liter and above. That's a good cholesterol, should be higher than your bad cholesterol. 1.81 millimoles per liter or above. That is where the heart is protected, according to the Framingham study that was done a few years ago. For the women, they say it should be 1.293 millimoles per liter or above. Now watch this now. The LDL, the so-called bad cholesterol, we're just going to focus on the part in blue. It says for optimal health, it should be less than 2.33 millimoles per liter. That's for optimal health. Now, notice that I keep saying optimal health because these numbers are not going to appear like that for on your blood report. But when we're saying optimal health is where the studies have shown that when cholesterol levels are in these values, then people don't get heart attack. And I was very intrigued when I was listening to Dr. Wareham from Loma Linda, the gentleman who died, well, who retired at age 95. Can you imagine that? Age 95, he retired from doing surgery. Now, when I think about this, this is just absolutely amazing. You know, because who would want somebody that is age 95 to operate on them if they don't have a stable hand? Would you want that person to do operation on you? No, but this guy had stable hands even at that age, and that's absolutely amazing. But what I like what he said to Dr. Sanjay Gupta from CNN when he did an interview with him that he was or is heart attack proof. And I said, what better person to say that than a surgeon? Why? He could say that because he follows a certain lifestyle. All right, let's carry on here. Now, I want to share with you a quick video. Check the audio earlier, but I hope that it will work. I want to share with you a quick video of how cholesterol works or function in the body, both the good and the bad cholesterol. So take a listen to this.
Cholesterol is a type of fat found in all of your body's cells. Your body needs cholesterol to work properly. In order to get to all of your cells, cholesterol needs to travel through the bloodstream. Proteins form a shell around the cholesterol, making a cholesterol complex. It is then released into the bloodstream and travels to where it needs to go. A protein that is linked to cholesterol is called a lipoprotein. You have probably heard about good cholesterol and bad cholesterol. The cholesterol complex, or lipoprotein, that can be bad is called LDL. LDL stands for low-density lipoprotein. Normally, LDLs transport cholesterol from your liver and deliver it to the tissues that need it. But if you have a lot of LDLs left over after all of your tissues have been taken care of, the LDLs will let go of the extra cholesterol while traveling through your blood. The good lipoprotein, which is also the good cholesterol, is called HDL. HDL stands for high-density lipoprotein. HDL is good because it picks up the extra cholesterol that was dropped off by the LDLs. This is why it is good to have high levels of HDL in your system and low levels of LDL. Think of H for high to help you remember this about HDL. And L stands for low, which is a way to remember that you want low levels of LDL.
All right, does that make sense, everybody? Each time I listen to this little clip, I can only say one thing. Indeed, what David said, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Because think about it, the bad cholesterol is needed for the cells to help with repair. And when there is excess, it goes into that bloodstream, but the good cholesterol comes and it cleans it up. Isn't that amazing how God made this body? That is why I can't subscribe to the belief that I developed from some single cell and came to who I am today in the sense of evolution. That's why I can't believe that, because I have to believe that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. What do you say down there? All right, let's carry on here. What are some symptoms of high cholesterol, high blood cholesterol. Here are some symptoms. High blood pressure, change in vision, chest pain, xanthelasma. Have you ever heard about xanthelasma? Anybody here? Maybe those in the medical field may have heard about it. Let me explain what xanthelasma is. Xanthelasma is this. There are like some little raised bumps that tend to come up under the eyes. Okay? It can come anywhere under the skin, but it has like a whitish, a clearish color. Okay? And I've seen times and times when I see these around people's eye or on their skin as well. That's what xanthelasma is. But please, don't go around the campground be looking under people's eyes to see if they have xanthelasma. Are you with me there? Okay, good. Okay, poor circulation. That's also another symptom of high blood pressure. Slow wound healing, neuropathy, tingling in the legs and feet, arteriosclerosis, low extremity pains in the hands and feet, erectile dysfunction, diabetes, because the insulin is not functioning properly. Now, question for you, all right? Now, Pastor, can I put you on the test, on the block? All right? No, I'm not going to ask you a question. I'm just going to ask you your confidence in the people here. You see, I'm from Ontario, okay? And I'm just visiting the Maritimes, and this is my first time visiting here. But here's what happened, Pastor. I want to put you on the test. You know, most times I go to places and I ask the question, and I'm going to ask you all this question as well, and you can prove me wrong. I believe they're going to get the question wrong, the answer wrong, even though I'm going to give them all the answers before I ask them the question. So here's what, Pastor. I want to see, do you have confidence in the brethren here that they will get it correctly? Now, you don't have to say yes, even if your members are here. You don't have to say yes. But I'm just saying, do you have confidence? I think I put you in a tight spot. I'm going to give them all the answers, Pastor.
Yes. Absolutely.
You have confidence. All right. So please do not let the pastor down. All right. Don't let him down. All right. So let's go. This is not the question yet, but this will help to give you the answer, okay, that I believe you're going to get wrong. But my brother here, he pastor here, he believes in you. Okay. So don't let him down. Question is, which organ of the body manufactures cholesterol? Does anybody know? It's the what? It's the liver. They're doing good so far, Pastor. They're doing very good so far. It's the what, everybody? It's the liver. So listen real good. Anything that has a liver comes from that of a liver, related to that of a liver, have a face or a mother, or if it is a mushroom, it will have cholesterol. Is that clear? Now, that's a part of the answer, okay? That for the question I'm going to ask you, okay? Oh, I need to repeat it? Okay, let me go. Because I don't want them to say I tricked them, Pastor, okay? The pastor is making sure. He's protecting his back. Okay, so what organ of the body manufactures cholesterol again? It is the what, everybody? Liver. So hear me now. Anything that has a liver comes from that of a liver, related to that of a liver, have a face or a mother, or if it is a mushroom, it will have cholesterol. Is that clear? Yep. I like that guy at the back. He's confident. All right, let me give it to you one more time. There it is, Pastor, just so they say they didn't get it. There it is. Anything that has a what, everybody? Comes from that of a? Related that to that of a? Has a? Or a? Or if it is a? It will have what? It's as simple as that. That's your answer right there. A liver, a face, or a mother will have cholesterol. Amen? All right, good. Brother at the back, you got it? Good. All right, he's with me. All right, let's carry on now. So before I get into the question I'm going to ask you, let me just segue a little bit here to talk about some very important things. So I have to go a little bit faster, so bear with me. If you're not understanding, raise your hands, I'll slow down. So watch this now. What are some of the functions of cholesterol? Because cholesterol has several functions in the human body. Let's explore some of them. Cholesterol is responsible for the manufacturing of all of your sexual hormones. Is that a good thing? So now, question, is cholesterol a good thing or a bad thing? It's a good thing. I knew, man. You know, each time, Pastor, I ask a question, they always say, once we talk about this, they always say, oh yeah, it's a good thing. All along it was bad, but now it's good. All right, but anyhow. Cholesterol helps with your progesterone, your estrogen, and so forth. Cholesterol is what helps to make those. So in essence, I'm saying cholesterol is overall a good thing. The issue with cholesterol is when there is what? Excess. Now, here's what the studies show. Studies show that 80% of the cholesterol that is found in your body, that your body makes it. The issue is the extra 20%, which oftentimes comes from an outside source. That is where the issue comes in with excess cholesterol. Okay? That's where it comes in. And in one of my manuals here, it's mentioned the very same thing that I'm talking to you about. It says that about the cholesterol and what happens when there is just too much cholesterol, and that the fact that your body does make that cholesterol, because we all have a what? Liver. And who gave us a liver? And that liver makes both what? Good and bad cholesterol. So if God put the liver in us, that simply means whatever the liver makes, it's good. Because after God created everything, God says, behold, all my creation, he said, it was what? Very good. Pastor, I like this congregation. Because you know what? Most times people say it's good. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible said it was what? Very good. That's correct. Love it. All right. I think they're going to get the answer, you know, Pastor. Based on how it looks, I think they're going to get it. I think so. All right. Let's carry on. So what else cholesterol does? It helps with vitamin D production. Can we talk about vitamin D for just a little while? Here's how vitamin D is made. When sunlight hits the skin, it converts cholesterol right under the skin into an active form of vitamin D, which you need a proper functioning liver and kidney to finish the process of hydrolyzation so that you can make usable vitamin D. Where one has kidney issues or kidney failure, that person is not able to make adequate amount of vitamin D when they're out in the sunlight. Okay? So here's what happened. Let's talk about vitamin D for just a little bit. I'm going to share something with you real quick. If you live, according to the studies, anywhere north of this line here, this is the tip of Georgia somewhere, and the further north you live, the worse it is. If you live anywhere north of here, I don't even think Nova Scotia is on this map. I'm new to Canada, so you have to help me. Is Nova Scotia up there? It's off the chart. So here's what happened. The further north you live, guess what? The greater the risk of vitamin D deficiency. Watch this now. Here's another chart for you, okay? You probably can't see this one too well, but here's what happened. Depending on the latitude that you live here, this is showing you how the time of year that you can actually make vitamin D from the sun. This is January, this is December. Only those that you see in this dark red are the months that you can really make good amount of vitamin D from the sun. I know in Toronto, we are somewhere between this one and this one, okay? Somewhere between. And you might be just a tad bit further north, so you might be teetering in this one. What am I trying to say to you here? Here it is in simple terms. These you see, the ones that look clear and yellow, these are the months that you cannot make adequate amount. Well, the ones that are clear, you can't make any vitamin D at all. So follow me now. 4 months out of the year, you cannot make any vitamin D at all, even if the sun is shining on the outside. The other months you see that are there in yellow, you can barely make anything, little or none at all, from the sun that is outside. So really and truly, where you can make vitamin D here from the sun is basically 3 months out of the year. So here's what the issue is. Majority of people in North America or Canada is what? Vitamin D deficient. Now let me share this with you, because I don't want to dwell too much, because I want to share with you solutions to help with cholesterol. By God's grace, I've had the opportunity to work with people from all the way in Miami, all the way up here to Nova Scotia. And listen real good. I am yet to find, Pastor, one person that I've recommended to go to their doctor to check their vitamin D level, and they weren't deficient. From where? Miami to here. Does the sun get hot all year round in Miami? Oh, yes. And the possibility is there to make vitamin D almost every day down there. But the issue of vitamin D deficiency is a big one. And I don't know about you, but I don't hear anybody talking about it. But it's a huge issue. And here's what happened. When I came to Canada and I was talking about these things, persons would go to their doctor, and one lady came back to me and she said her doctor said to her, I'm not going to check any vitamin D because everybody in Canada is deficient. Just go take something. That's what the doctor said. Doctor said, flat out, I'm not taking it. I remember the first doctor I had when I was here, and I wanted to check all my numbers, make sure everything is good. And so I said, Doc, I want my vitamin D level to be checked. He said to me, well, no, you don't need to check it. I said, please, I want my vitamin. And then he said to me, well, you have to pay. I said, no problem. I don't know how it is here in Nova Scotia, but in Ontario, it is not covered by our health program there. So you got to pay $35 if you want your vitamin D delivered to be checked. So I said, I'm willing to pay. The doctor said to me, you don't need to check it. You're going to make them rich. Make me rich. I'm like, what? He said, "Don't you're going to make them rich. Make me rich. I don't know if he was joking or what, but I was serious. I want my thing to be checked. And I checked it. My numbers were good because I've been doing things to help with that. But the point I'm making is this. Sometimes if you go to your doctor, they may give you a hard time to even check it. Except you have certain autoimmune disease or lupus or something like that, they may not want to check it. So don't get discouraged if you try to check it and they don't want to check it. But I want to let you know that it's a very important thing to know what your vitamin D level is. Because here's what happened. Let me just show you a list here. Before we get there, the Boston University School of Medicine, Dr. Michael Hollick said this. It is estimated that about 1.5 to 2 billion people worldwide are vitamin D deficiency. It is most certainly the most common nutritional deficiency and likely the most common medical problem in the world. So what he's saying is that, simply put, vitamin D deficiency is a big health problem. And it is no different here. Now let me share this with you. Nunavut. We've heard of Nunavut before, right? You know what one of the problems in Nunavut is? In Nunavut, they don't get enough what?
Sunlight.
And as a result of that, there is a lot of deficiency. Now there is a connection with the sun and helping with depression. Are you following me here? So depression is very high in that area, and research are seeing and recognizing that areas where you don't get enough sun, depression is high. And guess what? Vitamin D deficiency, there are studies that show that it does cause depression. Especially if you're a person who, when it comes to the fall into winter, that you get SAD. Okay, if you get that type of depression during that time, here's what happened. So begin to start using or talk to your doctor to help you with some amount of vitamin D, because that, I can guarantee you, can help you a lot, a big way as well. All right, here it is. What are some of the diseases that can come as a result of vitamin D deficiency? Osteoporosis, rickets, asthma, dementia, anemia, hypertension, obesity. All forms of cancer, 16 different cancer, prostate, breast. Here it is now. Listen real good. For all the years I've been doing this, I am yet to find one person that has prostate cancer or breast cancer that I've personally worked with, and they were not vitamin D deficient. I'm yet to find that. And that's one of the issues that we're seeing. One study showed that when men who live in Florida move to the northern states, they find an increase in prostate cancer. And when in that research, they're trying to figure out what was going on, and the conclusion they came with is because of the same issue of the sunlight, yea, vitamin D deficiency, that was spurring this on as well. Multiple myeloma, multiple sclerosis, and many other autoimmune diseases come as a result of vitamin D deficiency. Epilepsy, insomnia. Do you know that there's not just not time enough, but for all these diseases that you see me listing here, I can share experiences with you of persons that I've worked with that this was their biggest problem. We addressed the issue and we saw a significant improvement. Schizophrenia, Crohn's disease, diabetes, pains, autism. One study shows that if a pregnant woman is vitamin D deficient, the risk of the child having autism increases by 30 to 40%. Here is another thing. Autoimmune diseases, multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus. These all come as a result of vitamin D deficiency. Now, here's what happened. That lady I told you about that had the occlusion in her arteries that I spoke of earlier on, one of her issues was she was vitamin D deficient. And how we know this is because I had her do the test because she also had lupus in the past. And when the results came, it showed that she was severely deficient in vitamin D. And once the levels start come up, she started to see a great improvement. So cholesterol has vast benefits. It's excellent in the sense that when it is in the right proportion in the body, it has all these benefits. Cholesterol also helps to reduce stress in the body. It also helps with making bile in the liver. And bile is needed to help fats to digest. Cholesterol has over 200 functions in the human body. So now I'm coming to the question now. I'm coming to the question. The question is, what foods contain cholesterol? So please do not let your pastor down when I ask you the real question, okay? What foods contain cholesterol? Now, here it is. Are you ready? They don't sound like they're ready. All right. Are you ready, saints? Remember, cholesterol is found in things that have a what again? Okay, good. So you remember. All right. So what foods contain cholesterol? There it is. Does anybody know what that is? Avocado, yes. Anybody like avocado here? Few. Oh, wow. Everybody hand went up. Avocado, it's excellent. Now, let me ask you something. You know, some places they call avocado different names. Some place they call it zabocat. Some place they call it zaboca. Where I'm from, they call it pear. Some people call it English pear. Some people call it butter pear. Whichever name you call it, it's the same thing. Avocado, okay? That's what I'm talking about. Now, here is the question. Please don't let your pastor down. The question is simply this. Show hands those who say that avocado has the good cholesterol. Raise your hands. The good cholesterol. Pastor, take a look. Take a look. The good cholesterol. All right. Those who say that avocado does not have any cholesterol, raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4. Pastor, only 4 people did not let you down. Only 4. Only 4, Pastor. So let's do the test. Can we do the test? He's trying to recover. Let's do the test. Does avocado have a liver? Does avocado have a face? Does avocado have a mother? So does avocado have any cholesterol? Not. It doesn't have any cholesterol. Listen real good to what it says in one of my manuals here. Listen real good. Oh, you don't have a mic. I'll let you read it, but you don't have a mic. So for time's sake, listen what it says, and you can verify it. Maybe you can shake your head to verify it. Here it is in this book that is written by a medical doctor who's also a surgeon who wrote these series of books so it can help people to prevent things from their home or help themselves in their home. I love this doctor. Here's what it says. He says, avocado lowers cholesterol and fights anemia. Is that what it says, Pastor? That's what it says right there. Are you with me, dear saints? So avocado does what? Lowers cholesterol and what? Fights anemia. So where did this thing come from that don't eat avocado because it have cholesterol? That was the science of yesterday. They told us that years ago, don't eat avocado because it have cholesterol. It's going to send your cholesterol up. And what did people do? People say, I'm not eating any avocado. What does avocado have? Fats, but it don't have cholesterol. All right? We're going to come to another important thing. So let's talk about another food. We're talking about what food contain cholesterol. Here is another one. Who knows that one? Do we all know coconut? Excellent. We all know coconut. All right, so let's talk about coconut now. You know the coconut oil, and you know that coconut oil has great benefits, correct? But before we get to the benefits of coconut oil, follow me now. The coconut oil, let's say you put that in a frying pan, the heat is on, the fire is high, you forgot the fire that it was on, and the oil was in the frying pan, and it starts to heat and heat and heat and heat until it starts to smoke. When that coconut oil begins to burn and smoke, raise hands. Those who say at that time it has the bad cholesterol, raise your hands. Show hands those who say that even though it is smoking and burning, right, it still don't have any cholesterol. Raise your hands. All right, some people still not sure. Yes, go ahead. Well, we're talking about if it has cholesterol now. Okay? If it has cholesterol. So does it have cholesterol whether it's smoking or burning? No. The answer is no. Let's do the test. Does coconut have a liver?
No.
Does coconut have a mother?
No.
Does coconut have a face?
No.
I thought you all knew coconut. Now I know you don't know coconut. Have you never seen on coconut those? You've never seen that before? Yeah? So it has a face, right? But not a real face. You understand? I'm just making fun of this. All right, so coconut contains absolutely what? No cholesterol. No cholesterol. Same thing. We were told years ago that coconut, don't use coconut oil because it has cholesterol. Let me tell you what happened in many of the Caribbean islands. In many of the Caribbean islands where people had their coconut trees, what happened is that I don't know who came to the islands and started to teach people and tell people don't use your coconut oil because your coconut oil has cholesterol. It's going to make your health bad and this and that and so forth. People in the islands stopped using coconut oil, and the people who came to tell them this, guess what they did? They started to ship oils to the islands and say, use this oil. Guess which oil they sent down there? Canola oil. That's correct. What type of oil is canola oil? Where does it come from? Canola oil comes from a genetically modified seed called rapeseed. So imagine you have something good and natural, and then here it is that someone comes and gives you something that is even genetically modified. And here's what happened. You notice how coconut oil has become very popular nowadays? And guess what? Many of the Caribbean islands don't have coconut trees as they used to. Yes. I was in Montreal. And somebody that you know that you don't know that I know you. Had a family visiting from St. Vincent. All right. Maybe you'll catch it now. From La Salle. And here's what happened. Here's what the gentleman said to me. He said to me that, yes, you're correct. That's exactly what happened. And he said, there, they barely have any coconut tree. Because what people did when they got this information, they just left their trees up, no care, nothing. They just left them. And then now that the business is booming for coconut oil, these people have no coconut trees. There's some, but not as many as could be there. That's the point I'm making. All right? So, what are some of the benefits of coconut oil? Nowadays, we're hearing that coconut oil can help with what? Alzheimer's. That's correct, my dear sister. Have you ever heard that before? Coconut oil can help with that. Now, here is something that is powerful. Listen real good. Oh, man, I'm getting too excited. Here. Now, here's what happened. Let me share something with you. Anybody ever heard about oil pulling before? Yeah? Oil pulling. Oil pulling. This is where you take, like, the best oil to use is coconut oil. You take the coconut oil, you put it in your mouth, but about a tablespoon, and you swoosh that through your teeth. Okay, you pull it through your teeth for about 15 to 20 minutes or so, if you can do it that long. And what that does, it helps to detoxify the mouth. This helps, especially if you're a person who has, I've done a root canal. A root canal. If you've ever done a root canal, a root canal is basically something dead inside your mouth. I mean, the teeth is dead if you take the canal and the roots out. Now, here's what happened. Many persons don't recognize that root canal does have a serious impact on your health. Are you following me here, saints? Has a serious impact on your health. In fact, I read in one book once that it says that the side that most persons have a root canal on, sometimes a person tend to develop cancer on that side. Because remember, if your body has something dead in it, what's your immune system going to do? It's going to be fighting all the time. It's going to be hyper-functioning all the time to get rid and to deal with this thing. And I'm telling you from personal experience, because I did have one in and I took that thing out because it was having an impact on my health. Now, the one thing you can do to mitigate or to lessen the impact of what's going on there is the oil pulling. And you got to do that every day. Okay? You swoosh that thing. It helps to keep the inflammation level down. Let me tell you, I mean, I wish I had more time. I could share some more of these things with you and even people that I've shared this with and how it has helped their health. But having a root canal wreaks havoc on your health. So if you have one, I'm not telling you should go and take it out or whatever you should do, but based on the information, you make an informed decision. 2 weeks ago, just before coming here, I was at a church where they were doing an evangelistic series and they invite me to come to be their health presenter for the 2 weeks. And I was sharing this with people and I was shocked, Pastor, how many people came to me after that and would say, you know, I have one here, what must I do? Because many times people don't recognize that why your immune system is so low, why you're catching the flu all the time, why you catch the cold all the time, is because your immune system is just overworked. Maybe because you have a root canal. Are you following me here, saints? So that is why, as I said to you before, what we do as healthy lifestyle coach, we share information with people because I'm like this. I don't hold back information. You know, if you want to know something, if I know it, I'll let you know. Because my goal is to see God's people improve their health. And that's why the resources I carry, they come with instruction. I'm not just selling something because, oh, it's good to sell. But I want whatever I recommend for you, that it can be a paramount benefit for you and your overall health. Are we making sense there, everybody? All right, so give me 10 more minutes and then I'm going to finish. Amen? Can I get 10 more minutes of your time? Wonderful. Is it making sense, by the way? Okay, good. All right, let's carry on here now. What foods contain cholesterol? Based on the answers that I gave you earlier on, the simple answer is this. What foods contain cholesterol? Cholesterol is only found in things that comes from a liver, a face, or a mother. It's as simple as that. What would that be?
Animal
products. That's correct. So, what foods contain cholesterol? Cholesterol is only found in animal products and flesh foods. Beef, lamb, chicken, butter, eggs, ice cream, shrimp, conch, lobster, and things of that sort. Whole grain fruits and vegetables contains what? No cholesterol. Watch this now. What about... All right, so what this is saying is that if you eat a diet that is... if you practice a good diet or a good healthy lifestyle and you eat a meal that is high in cholesterol, it can negatively affect your cholesterol for how long? 2 weeks. So if you indulge once in a while, it still will keep your cholesterol level up. If you indulge once every week or two, it keeps the cholesterol level high. Now let's talk about fish and cholesterol, because this is a question that people keep asking us. So what about fish? Fish don't have cholesterol. Does it have a what? A face. It has a face. Come to think of it. Fish has a face. Does it have a liver? Does it have a mother? So if it has any of those, then it has what? Cholesterol. There it is. Fish contains our fish and its products are loaded with cholesterol. Contains 40 to 130 grams, or rather, for Canadian number, and you can see it in the bracket. In other words, fish has a good amount of cholesterol, like meat, like beef, cured cheese, and even like that of eggs and butter. That's the bottom line. Watch this now. Question for you. And make sure you don't let Pastor Dell. Can a vegan vegetarian, we know who is a vegan, right? A person who does not eat meat. Can a vegan vegetarian have high cholesterol? Raise your hand. Yes. If you say yes, raise your hand. Can a vegan vegetarian who eats, follow me, let me set it right. Before you put your hand up. Can a vegan vegetarian who eats nothing that has a liver, a face, or a mother, can such a person have high cholesterol? Raise your hand. One, your hand is kind of half up, half down. You're not too sure. And that gentleman too. Brother, what you say? You were with me. You're gone. You're not with me anymore. Huh? You don't think so? And you half think so. But my brother is confident. Yes, you want to say?
I have a friend. He has
He used what? Okay, hydrogenated oils. All right. Yes. So the answer is, can a vegan vegetarian have high cholesterol? The answer is what? Yes. How? When too much what? Fats and oils are consumed. So here it is. I was working with this lady. She's been a dietary vegan for 10 years. She exercised well. She do all the old 8 laws of health. Almost. Now here's what happened. When I sat with this lady down, I realized that she had high cholesterol and she was borderline diabetic. Inconsistent with someone who is on a dietary vegan pathway. When I went through her thing, because remember, disease never comes without a cause. Here's what I discovered. The lady was consuming a 3-pound bag of almonds in one day. And when I sat with her in that session, I said, my dear sister, that is the problem. You're consuming too much what? Nuts. Yes. And I told her she need to go on a nut fast because she's going to nut herself out. You know, when you're younger, you say things a certain way, right? And the lady said, I don't know. I just love those nuts. And I said, okay, well, let me tell you, it's going to mess you up because this is your issue. Because let's back this up now. Before I even go there. The lady said she didn't know she could cut it out, but she said she will try. Call the lady to follow up with her. And I said, how is the avoiding the nuts going? She said, yes, I've been avoiding the almonds. But guess what? She's avoiding the almonds, but she switched to what? Cashews. Cashews she switched to. Which is fatter, the almonds or the cashew? The cashews. I tell her, you gotta cut it out. Now here's what happened. Question. What did we say about, well, I probably didn't explain this to you, so I'll just explain it now. Cholesterol is needed to make bile. What is the purpose of bile? Bile helps fat to digest. Are you following me here? So, the reason a vegan vegetarian can have high cholesterol is because if you eat a high fat like this lady was, or what my brother here was saying, if you're eating high fat diet, then that fat needs to be what? Digested, broken down. And in order for that to be broken down, you need bile. And in order for what? The body to make bile, which is the liver that's making it, you need what? Cholesterol. So in trying to help with the fat emulsification, the body has to make excessive amount of what? Cholesterol, which is needed to make the bile. Are you catching the correlation there? So that's why too much fat will have that impact. Are we making sense there? Now let me go ahead and I'm going to hasten down. Can't tell you. Oh, remember the lady I told you about that was taking a bag of medication? That's the bag of medication the lady was taking that I worked with. Some of those medication, they told her she has to be on it for life. And by God's grace, the lady followed the plan that I shared with her. And I can tell you, she's off those medications today by God's grace. And I say, to God be the glory, great things he has done. Now, let's talk about what we can do if you have high cholesterol. Because it's all about what can we do. First of all, we need to eliminate certain things from the diet. Like flesh fruits, highly processed fried foods. Also, for some persons, gotta eliminate butter because butter can cause your cholesterol to jump up. Now, here are some things. Exercise can help to increase your good cholesterol, which is essential to help to lower the overall cholesterol in the body. Now, here is something. Get what? Adequate what? Here is something for you. Let me share this with you. This is one of my manuals that I have there on my table. It's called Healthy Body. What is it called? Healthy Body. If you want to know how to have a healthy body, this is something that you want to have in your hand. Here's what Healthy Body says, okay? Healthy Body, a practical guide to body care. And what it does, it targets different parts of the body. For example, the liver, the heart, the face, the skin, the back, whatever. And shows you how to deal with that. Here's what it says about cholesterol. It says here that depending on the amount of antioxidant you have in your body will determine how your body will keep cholesterol going or flowing through your body. Or in other words, having a diet that is high in antioxidant will help to clean the arterial wall of cholesterol. Isn't that amazing? Listen what it says here. High cholesterol, if your diet is high in antioxidant, your risk of cardiovascular disease is low. Okay? Your risk is low. If your antioxidant intake is low, your risk of cardiovascular disease increases because nothing is there to prevent the cholesterol from oxidizing, which can cause atherosclerosis. So even if you're on a bad diet, and your diet, I'm not saying you should stay on a bad diet now, don't get me wrong, but even if you're on a poor diet, and you have a high amount of antioxidant in your diet, that will help you to keep that artery nice and clean. Am I making sense here, saints? But here's what happened. Don't go now and say, okay, he said I could be on a bad diet, just eat a food, a diet high in antioxidant, and I'll be fine. I'm not encouraging that, because you don't know where the balance is coming from. Am I making sense here, saints? So here it is now. So a diet that's rich in like your berries, your blackberry, blueberry, strawberries, and all these things, that will help you significantly with cleaning that artery. That's one way. Now remember, if you want to know a fast way to get that artery nice and clean, just come over there, maybe after supper or before supper or something. I can show you in one of my manuals over there on the table how you can do that. Watch this now. So we have to skip some of this until we get to the other stuff. Nuts. Nuts is excellent to help to keep the heart healthy, good for overall health as well, and the balance. The balance. And when I say vegetable oils, I'm not talking regular vegetable oils. I'm just talking the good oils that we tend to use, like olive oil, coconut oil, and so forth. These are healthy types of fat that we want to consume in our diet to help us as well. Now, I have to skip a lot. Now, let's see how we mop it all up. Let's mop it all up. Here are some things that is excellent to help with high cholesterol. Flaxseed. Flaxseed is amazing because what flaxseed does, it has omega-3 fatty acids in it. And omega-3 fatty acid is good to help to keep the arteries clean and as well. And it's also good for the brain. Another thing that is good for high cholesterol is this one, pumpkin seed. Did you know that pumpkin seeds help with cholesterol? Pumpkin seed has something in it called L-arginine. The end product of L-arginine is nitric oxide. And what nitric oxide does, it helps the arteries to open up so that the blood can flow. So if you have hypertension or high cholesterol, this is excellent to help you to keep that arteries going good. All right? Here is another thing that's good for high cholesterol. Beans. Beans are excellent, especially your kidney beans. Another thing that is good, lecithin granules. Lecithin granules helps to emulsify fat in the body. Here is another one, linden tea. Show hands those who have ever heard about linden tea. Raise your hands real quick. Linden tea. A few persons have. Let me tell you something about linden tea. I have a book here on medicinal plants. This tells you how to use your herbs, how much to use of your herbs, how to prepare it. And this is the key thing that many persons want to know. How do I prepare my herbs? How much do I use? Here's something. Listen to this. I'm going to tell you a few of the things that it tells you here about linden tea. Let me tell you, this is absolutely amazing. It says linden tea. If you have problems sleeping, guess what can help you? Linden tea. Linden tea can help you. The linden herb. If you want to see how it looks, you can see it here. If you have nervousness, okay, if you want to protect your heart, linden can help with that. Not only does it help to lower your cholesterol, but it also helps with these. You want to know what else it's good for? A person who has like migraine headache. This also helps. This herb helps with pain as well. Okay? And other pains also too. It helps with. I remember one time I had this young lady. She just took the herb. At the time, I was selling herbs at that time in the States. And she got this herb from me, and she started using the linden tea. She was using it because she had hypertension, which this is also good for that. But one thing she didn't tell me in the session is that she had times when she would get anxious and panicky. And, you know, and here's what happened. She said to me that once she started using this herb, it just made her much more calmer. Keeps her calm. All right? But here in this, it tells you that it works that way. Now, saints, I wish I had more time. I could tell you all the benefits of this linden herb. If you want to know more about it and more herbs, just come and see me over there. I'll be more than happy to share it with you as well. Because there are a lot of things that we can use that is even right at our disposal, but we just don't know what they are. As my brother was saying, red yeast rice is excellent to help to lower cholesterol as well. But listen real good. Now, I want you to follow me. Is everybody with me? All right. I need to get your attention on this one because there's a caution here. Is everybody with me? All right. A few people are still not with me. Is everybody with me? Yes. Amen. Good. Now, red yeast rice is phenomenal to help to lower cholesterol. But listen real good. If you're going to use red yeast rice, you must use it with what? Coenzyme 10. CoQ10. Okay? You have to use it. Why? Because just like statin drug, they say, can have impact on your muscles or organs of your body, red yeast rice can do the same. But if you take it with CoQ10, CoQ10 helps to protect the myelin sheath and your muscles and so forth. It negates the effect. So if you're using red yeast rice, never use it by itself. Use it with CoQ10. Is that clear, everybody? Is that clear, everybody? Amen. Good. Finally, garlic. 2 to 3 cloves of garlic a day can also help with lowering cholesterol as well. There is another thing that is phenomenal to help, and that is called gogo. You'll have to go to the health food store to get this one. This is excellent to help to lower cholesterol as well. Many of our health institute, they use this as a part of their regimen to help individuals to lower their cholesterol. And finally, we encourage persons to go for a walk each day to help them with lowering their cholesterol as well. I wish I had more time to share with you some of the resources that I have here that can help you not only with cholesterol, but also with many of the other diseases from a healthy, natural perspective using herbs and so forth. But if you want to know more, come and see me over by the cafeteria in the back there, and I can share more with you. Any questions before we close? Everything clear? Yes. Question.
Concerning the root canal.
Concerning the root canals.
Why doesn't having a filling have the same effect if you're putting something, in your mouth? It's not living.
All right, good. The question is, why is it that a filling does not have the same effect as a root canal? What they do with a root canal is that they drill in that teeth. They take out the nerve. They take out the pulp. They clean that thing out. So after they do all of that, that tooth is no longer living. It's dead. And so what happens is that sometimes they may put a crown over it or they leave it like that. The issue is that behind that, it can develop bacteria. Bacteria breeds and grow in that area. And because the tooth is a dead thing, as I said, the immune system is there to fight and to protect you from things. And so that's how it gets to that. With the filling now, the teeth is still alive. All right? It's still alive, and that's what makes a difference. Okay? So like I said, you do that oil pulling. And here's what I used to do when I had that thing. I used to also add certain botanicals to my regimen. For example, I'd add peppermint oil, or I will add essential oil, that is. Or I'd add like clove essential oil to that. So when I'm pulling, these are oils that are antibacterial. So it will help to really clean out some of that gunk from there. I tell you, I used to have swellings and all of this. And I was wondering what was going on, even though I knew what was going on. But I said, enough is enough. I'm going to take this out. And I took it out. Are you following me here, saints? Because here's what happened. If something is always going to put a stress on your body, on your system, you want to do something about it. Am I making sense here, saints? And the thing is, it only improves your health. You will feel the difference. once you make a change with that. Okay? All right? So thank you for your question. Yes, one more question and then we're going to close. If you, yes, it will. And one of the things to eliminate too, if with that situation, is peanuts. Because peanuts will... And here's the other thing. Rancid nuts as well will increase that triglyceride as well. All right. Well, here's what happened. Thank you so much for having me here. It was my pleasure. My first time here in Nova Scotia Maritime. I enjoy my time here, even though I haven't dipped in the water just yet. But I thank you for your time. Thank you for coming out each evening. And I hope that it was a blessing to you. If you have further questions, if you need to get on one of our plans, even though I'll be gone, I could always give you a lifestyle assessment form. You could fill it out. You could give it to me before I go, and I could call you, and we could work on things together. Or you can keep the form, and you can always scan it and email it back to me. Or you can go to our website, ihealprogram.org, ihealprogram.org, and you can always fill out one of the assessment forms, and you put my name on it, and we can call you so that we can work with you on improving your health. Can I pray with you before we go?
Before we pray. We want to thank you.
Yes.
On behalf of the Maritime Conference.
Uh-huh.
For coming to bless us with this potent health information, Dale. Thank you so much, brother. And we always like to give all of our speakers a Pugwash hoodie.
Oh.
Pugwash hoodie. Okay. So try it on. And if it doesn't fit, let me know, and we'll get you one that fits.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, brother.
Blessed.
Thank you. And we want to say a prayer. We want to say a prayer for Dale, that the Lord will continue to bless his ministry and will bless the iHeal ministry. And I'm not sure that he mentioned it. iHeal also works to train youth. Okay? And so if you are interested in doing what he does, I have the training, but I don't have the time, as you know, to really get involved in it. But if you want to learn, you know, what he is doing and how to do it, you can go to iHeal.
Yes, but we have flyers, and we can take your email address.
Absolutely.
We could send you more information about the training, and when you're ready, you can do it.
Yep.
In fact, we have a training that's coming up in Toronto. The end of October. We have a flyer for that. So if you need to know more, come and see us. We'll get you going and we'll get you trained.
All right. So let's say a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we want to thank you so much for our brother Dale and how he has blessed us. I mean, I've only come to one presentation and I have just been so blessed, Father. Lord, I pray that everyone here who has been coming to the presentation throughout the week will put into practice these life-changing solutions, oh God. Thank you so much. Bless this ministry. Increase it, Father, because as you do so, lives will change for the better. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, I pray.
Amen. 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 All right. God bless you all. We'll see you on the other side.